on a hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light that I might see, and the light that shines in the darkness now will safely lead me home. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, this ship would be no more. Everybody that lives around us says, tear that lighthouse down. The big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use it standing around. Then my mind goes back to that stormy night. Just in time, I saw the light. It's the light from that old lighthouse that stands up there on that hill. And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to
like to invite you this morning over to the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 23 of the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 23. Matthew chapter 21, verse 23 reads this way. It says, "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, thanking you, Lord, for the truths that you give to us and for knowing that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you for your presence this morning. And with that, Lord, we ask for your blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us into your truths, into your word, that we might hear from you and that you might be highly exalted and lifted up in each and every one of our hearts and minds. And ultimately, Lord, in our lives, that we might be the witnesses you've called us to be. And then, Lord, if there's somebody here that may not have the assurance of eternal life, that you would bring the conviction that's needed, that they might know they need you as Savior and rejoice and enjoy the salvation that you have provided for all those who believe on you. Bless, Lord, the service, and we'll give you the praise, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, By What Authority Doest Thou These Things? By what authority doest thou these things? Now, before we actually get started, I want to start off with a question, and you don't have to answer this out loud, but why are you here this morning? Why are you here this morning? Don't want to take it for granted, because sometimes we can just get in the routine of things, right, and miss what God wants us to do. Believe it or not, listen, many good sermons will be preached this morning. Well, what's a good sermon? Well, a good sermon might be something that gives you some good information. A good sermon might be something that is outlined properly and alliterated just right and illustrated in a way that captivates you. A good sermon could be something that's given by somebody who's a good orator in a way that they can preach and speak. Well, that's not my desire this morning. I don't think it's God's desire either, although that can be included. We're not going to exclude that. But the ultimate reason is why we're here is that we might worship our God and that we might hear from Him. Because there's a lot of good messages, I'm afraid, that don't include worship, that don't include hearing from the Lord. Brother George, how do you know that? Well, my goodness, when God is at work, God's people will know it, and so will the world, because it will be turned and flipped upside down. And I hope we look to the Word of God for our pattern. I don't want to go by what everybody else is doing, do you? Oh, no, listen. We don't want to just keep up with what everybody else is doing. We want to find out what God is saying and what God wants to do specifically, believe it or not, in your life and mine. Amen? So we want to be here to worship. So with that said, a lot of things took place when Jesus was teaching. We read that, right? He was teaching here. In this particular day here, he was approached by the chief priests. This is the religious realm. And the elders, those are also more religious people, and confronted the Lord with two questions. And so an answer really to a couple of questions is not what Jesus was concerned about. Because this, we'll see that here in just a moment. But what he was concerned about was what we did with the truth that concerns God. That's what's important. What are we doing with the truth that deals with our relationship with God? So this morning we want to take a few moments and we're going to look at confronting God. That'll be the first thought. And then secondly, we'll look at a concealed heart revealed. And then thirdly, we'll look at a corrupt heart condemned. This is important because we can mistakenly find ourselves on the wrong side of receiving what God wants to give us. In other words, we might be in a place where we're not able to receive the things that God wants for us because we've maybe approached the Lord in a way that is not conducive or not working in a way that opens up our hearts and our lives to the blessings of God. So let's look at this situation here in verse 23. And notice what it says here. And when he was come unto the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. Now you have to understand this. The Lord is in the middle of teaching. He's speaking. And now he's interrupted by the chief priests and the elders of the people. Isn't that what we read there? See, a lot of times that gets overlooked. The Lord is in process of doing something. And I want to remind you that Jesus Christ is God incarnate. That's important. He is God incarnate. And now he's approached by these people that think a little bit more than they should of themselves. And they stop the Lord in the process of teaching. And notice what they say here. They said this. By what authority, verse 23, doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? Two questions they asked him, didn't they? And the Lord responds like this, and Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, this is the condition, I'll answer your question, is what he's saying. If you tell me, I and likewise, just as you give me the answer, will I tell you by what authority I do these things? Now, here's what they misunderstood. First of all, Jesus is God incarnate. Now, I want you to fathom this. Does Jesus Christ have the ability to know where their hearts are?
does Jesus Christ have the authority to make them toast? Does he? Does he have the authority to judge them right there and right now? Does God have the authority to judge you and I right here and right now? Oh yeah, he does. See, but they in their own arrogance and in their own thinking that they are something important, they're going to ask God something. And I want you to see the grace of God, because I want to remind you that Jesus Christ had the authority. Fortunately for them and for us, it was not his will. Listen, God is not pressured by mankind. God is not anxious for anything. God is love first. And with that love comes joy and peace. And God is not moved or disturbed by anything that man can do, has done, or will ever do. Let me say that again. God is not disturbed by anything mankind might do. Now, there are questions, and I don't think they're wrong questions, when people say, well, why does God allow all this? Well, let me help you out with this. Why does God allow everything he does in your life and mine? Why does God allow sin? Well, praise God, because he is long-suffering and merciful and not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So with that said, we want to understand that the Lord right here is being merciful when he answers and he says, I also will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Now, people already understood by what authority he was doing these things. There are already people that were following the Lord that knew and were learning more about who he is. Did the disciples know that Jesus Christ was the Messiah? Did they know that? Yeah, they did. So they knew he was the Savior of the world. Did the disciples also know that he was the God-man? Yes, they did. Question, were they learning more as they walked with the Lord on a daily basis, more about who Jesus was? Can you and I possibly learn more of who Jesus Christ is as we walk with him and as we seek him? Yes, we can. And by the way, that's God's will. And so here we find this situation where these people are confronting the Lord as he was teaching. They interrupted him. And I want you to see the two questions here as we consider them. He says, by what authority dost thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? And so we find these questions here, and we see the condition that the Lord lays out, and now we're going to notice the corruption that was in their hearts and in their minds. So here's the question, ready? Verse 25, the baptism of John, whence was it, from heaven or of men? That's a good question. It's a compound question, right? I mean, there's a question, where's his baptism? And where was it from? Was it from heaven or of men? So he left no room for error. He left no room for deception. Because God is the truth. There's not a truth as the world might have you to believe. You know, I have my truth, you have your truth. That's hogwash. That there's no such thing as more than one truth. There's not your truth and my truth. There's only the truth. Isn't that simple? Do you want to approach people with the idea or the philosophy that they have their own truth and you have your own truth? Or is there not just one truth? Because some people might think that stealing is, in their own eyes, is not a bad thing to do. If I take something from you, that's not a bad thing, because that's their truth, right? But that's wrong, isn't it? See, listen, the Word of God is the truth. And we can live by the Word of God and be blessed by the Word of God. And people even that reject God can be happy. Listen, even people that reject God don't like to be lied to. And don't like to be stolen or taken advantage of. And when people start coming up to you and telling you that they have a different truth than you have, mark it down. They're looking to be deceptive, and they're looking to take something or gain something from somebody else that does not belong from them, belong to them. Because if they believed in the truth, that would settle everything. All right. So he says to them, I want you to tell me the baptism of John. Who did it belong to? Who did it come from? And so what happens here in verse 25, they reasoned with themselves. This is the corruption. Verse 25 again, the baptism of John. Jesus is asking, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves. They reasoned with themselves. There was a little huddle. There was a little conversation taking place now saying, if we shall say from heaven, you see, they're in a catch 22 here. If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why did ye not then believe him? Why? Now, I want to remind you about John the Baptist and his ministry. Remember where he came from, Elizabeth, right? And then we have his father who was the high priest, and all of a sudden he couldn't speak until he was born, and they named him John, and then they knew that he had seen, that his father had, John's father had seen, received a vision from the Lord. And so they all took John to be a prophet. He was preaching the truth. They took him to be a prophet, and so they were afraid. And notice what it says here. But if we shall say, verse 26, of men, we fear the people, for all, not some, all hold John as a prophet. Now listen, when all are on one side and you're on the other side, I would think I'd consider where my side was at. I think it would be a good thing to consider where I am standing. If everybody else is on that side and they're saying something different than what we're saying, I'd be concerned. At the least, be concerned. And so here's the Lord, the God-man, mercifully giving them an opportunity to come to the truth. But you see, here's what they're giving. You ready? They're finagling. They're deceptively to themselves and before everybody else, not willing to be truthful because they knew the answer. They could have at least said, we don't believe that he is a prophet of God. We could have said that whatever John got, he got from mankind. So to not be settled they weren't being honest at the very least. They were not being honest. You cannot approach the Lord being dishonest. Can't do it. And so here they are, verse 27. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. Now, is that the truth? There's only two ways. It's either of men or of God from heaven. I mean, that is, see, listen, the Lord works with our honesty, our repentance. What they needed to say is, you know, we've gotten this wrong, Lord. The truth of the matter is, everybody adheres that this man's ministry is from heaven, and we ought to agree with that, but they're not willing to do that because what they're more concerned about was their position and their status in front of everybody. Listen, you cannot get right with God. You cannot experience the Lord if what you're concerned about is yourself. Can't do it. And that is man's greatest plight, if you will, greatest setback in life, is when we look to ourselves. If you study the scriptures, we studied this morning in Sunday school class about Moses, even Moses, a man who was mighty in word and deed, as we understand that Stephen had mentioned, was dealing with himself. The greatest problem that Moses had in doing what God said was dealing, he said, but Lord, I can't do this, Lord, I, whether he was honest or not how he felt about it, he was not looking to the Lord. See, listen, let me just tell you something. God is not in the business of strengthening your life and mine. But he does want to live his life through us. See, listen, the biggest problem that the disciples had with the Lord was themselves. They couldn't see it. Oh man, Peter thought he was something else when he said, they'll all forsake you, Lord. Not I, I'm not going to do that. He had an eye problem. Elijah had an eye problem. Lord, this is what I'm doing and nobody else is with me. And the Lord says, 7,000 souls, 7,000 are still faithful to me. And that is because God is not in the business of making us strong. He's in the business of us yielding to him. And if we want to, and listen, God is not wanting us to try harder. Because if you try harder and succeed, who are you going to thank? Right? We'll thank ourselves. So, now we find a concealed heart revealed. So, he says this to them. Look at verse 27 anyway. Let's finish this. And they answered Jesus and said, "We cannot tell." Now remember, the same way you answer me, I'm going to answer you in like kind. And he said unto them, "Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." We can't tell you, is what they said. And the Lord said, "I can't tell you either." Now, I know the answer, but you're not being honest. That's the problem. Now, I want you to know something. Did the Lord know this question was coming in eternity past before these elders and these Pharisees, these religious rulers, ever were born? God knows everything that's coming before it ever comes. He has seen it in so many ways. And His will prevail, not just because He's seen it, but because, listen, He is God. Because He is God. And these people couldn't figure it out. Every time they approached the Lord in deception, they came to their own diabolical end. And so will you and I. Listen, God is not a respecter of persons. That's a good thing. Because He'll receive you in the Lord. He'll receive you and I. But listen, if we come up with our own standards and our own ideas outside of the Word of God, we're going to flounder in the faith that God has given to us. We will never experience the grace of God as He would have for you and I to experience it. Listen, the Lord said because He goes to the Father that greater works, and He also talked about the future believers in John chapter 15, John chapter 14, because He was going to the Father and going to give us the Holy Spirit, that we were going to do the same works and greater works than what the Lord did. Now, that doesn't mean that you and I were going to do it in our own strength, but that He would do it through us. Why? Because we would be indwelt with the other one that's just like Him, the Holy Spirit, and that He would be doing the work in and through us. That is the greatest detriment in the life of the believer today, is not knowing that God doesn't want to strengthen us. He wants to work through us and for us. He wants to do, listen, he says, "Ye are my workmanship." And not that I have a wonderful assistant in the work here, you. Not that you're going to help me in the work, but that I'm going to do, listen, salvation, does God need our assistance in that? Did God need our help dying on the cross? If we touched the work of God with any of our righteousness, we would have marred it and ruined it. And so God didn't start the work with our help, and He won't finish the work with our help. He won't have it. You study the Word of God, and you will see the truth. You seek the Lord from a neutral mind instead of this idea, and I battled with it, and I still battle with it. That, "Lord, I've got to do this for you." Oh, no, no, no. You've got to do it through me. You're the one that has to do the work, because if I touch the work, I ruin it every time. Isn't that true? Anytime you try harder, do you ever succeed? In fact, I would dare say this. Most Christians have stopped trying to walk in the love of God. Most Christians have stopped trying. Why? Because they keep failing. They keep failing. They keep failing. And here's where they come to. I can't do this. So you know what they're satisfied with? Not with what God wants for them, not God's best, but they're satisfied knowing that they have eternal life, and that's it. Because they don't understand that God is wanting to place them in a position of truth and understanding that God will do the work in and through us. And that when He does that, we are brought more times to the place of worship in our everyday lives than ever before, if we'll allow God to work in our lives and for us not to work it out. Now, does that mean that we do nothing at all? Well, I'll just keep failing. That's not the will of God. God says, "I've come to give you success, good success." So as we see this, notice what happens here. We find a concealed heart revealed. Look at verse 28. So here he tells them this. Now, I want you to see the love of God here and God's mercy. Look at this answer. This sounds a little bit strong. Remember, they said, we can't tell. They answered Jesus, verse 27, and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Now, is but a conjunction that adds two thoughts together? There may be a little bit of a space there in your Bible, but the Lord's still speaking. So he says this, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things, but what think ye? He's still going on. Listen, that's the mercy of God trying to get them to think a little bit, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. Now listen to this story, and this is the concealed heart revealed. He answered and said, I will not. Did you hear that? Listen. The father says to him, go work in my vineyard. And the son says what? Two letters. Two-letter word. No. That's what he said. I will not. He says no. So, verse 29, he answered and said, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. That's a good thing. Verse 30, and he came to the second and said, likewise, and he answered and said, don't you love this? I go, sir. I go, sir. So respectful. I go, sir. And then what happens here? And he went not. Then he asks this question, verse 31. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? Now, he is wanting to convey a truth to them that will get them to think, believe it or not, about where they're standing. This morning, God, listen, is not trying to give you an eloquent word to impress you. He wants you and I both to know where we are standing. Whether or not we're standing in our own deception or in His truth. Because if I'm leaning to my understanding, I've got news for you, it's not God's way. So I'm either leaning to my understanding or to the truth of God's word. So, verse 31, whether of them twain, which one of the two, did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. That was a good answer. That was the truth, the first. But now wait a minute. He's going to make an analogy here, and I'm sure you've probably, if you've been saved for any length of time, probably read or heard a message on this, but I want you to see something that you may have overlooked, what the Lord is saying and doing with these people here that have rejected him ultimately. And so notice what happens here. He says, the first, Jesus saith unto them, verily or truly, in verse 31, notice this, I say unto you, listen, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Did you get that? Listen, Jesus is likening the publicans and the harlots to the first son. That's who he's likening them. He's saying, these people that you despise, that you look down on, they're going in before you. Notice this. Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness. That's an undeniable, indisputable fact. And notice, and you believed him not. That was a choice they made. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. How did they believe him? They had to repent. They had to say that my life is in contradiction to the truth. I'm wrong, God. And notice, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not. They repented. They did not. They saw it. They saw it right there before the Lord that day. When they decided, we can't give God an answer because we lose either way because we don't like either answer. We're afraid of the people more than we're afraid of God. That's why they did not want to downspeak John the Baptist. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. You should have believed John the Baptist is what the Lord is saying. In fact, here's what he's saying. You have no excuse before God not to believe him. He was preached about. He was prophesied about. He was the one that was preparing the way. Behold, remember what he said about the Lord? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You remember all this confusion about Jesus? No prophet comes out of Nazareth. They had the stinking records better than any records we keep today about where everybody was born. They could have easily found out if they wanted to and probably knew and excused it and explained it away just like they're explaining away John the Baptist's authority. Do you think that goes on today? People explain away their failures and their excuses amongst God's people? Why isn't this happening? Why isn't this going on in my life? I don't even know if people are questioning that anymore. Well, after all, everybody's doing it. Isn't that what you hear all the time? Everybody's doing it. Everybody. Well, God's people aren't supposed to be doing it. God's people are supposed to be different. Isn't that what the Bible says? So if there's a contradiction with my life and the Word of God, what shall I do? Well, let me tell you what we shouldn't do. Try harder. It's not what God. God says, if you need anything, if you lack anything, ask who? Why? Because he'll give it. Didn't he say, ask me anything and I'll give it you? Didn't he say that? Why don't we ask God for the things that we know we need? Let me ask you again. Why don't we ask God? Unbelief. Unbelief is why we don't ask God. Listen, I'm on your side. You know why? Because I want to be on the Lord's side. And the Lord is for you, not against you. Do you believe that? The Lord is for us, not against us. But we have to start walking in the truth and acknowledging the truth and saying, these things are not right. See, if we're not careful, what we do is we say, well, we're not like the world. No, but we're only 20 stinking years behind them. We're only 20 years behind them. Fathom that thought. If you go back 20 years, you'd say, you know what? I'm allowing some things in my life that I just see it amongst people that profess to know the Lord. Things they would have never dreamed of doing 20 years ago, they're doing today and allowing today. Now, God receives us as we are, does he not? But it's not his will that he leaves us as we are. He's come to bring that change. He's not asking us to do it. And the greatest way and the fastest way to frustration is thinking that we have to do it instead of saying, God, I'm tired now. You know why? Because I picked up a burden you never intended me to pick up. I want to pick up your yoke. What's that? That you would do your will in my life. And that you would make me the peculiar people that you want me to be. That you would enable me and work on me to be the light. But the truth of the matter is, a lot of believers are too self-absorbed. And that's the first thing God said we have to do is to deny ourselves. And we think, denying ourselves is not just denying material things. Denying ourselves is denying my will and putting God's will before mine. And to call out things that God calls out as being sin and being wrong. A short temper is sin before the Lord. That's not long suffering. That's not love. And what should I do? Don't tell me if you've ever done this. You've done something like maybe lost your temper, possibly, right? Been angry at somebody before. Now, I don't think anybody would ever think that of anybody in this room. Nobody's ever done that. And all of a sudden, by golly, you're not giving in. And deep down, way deep down inside, there's a still small voice saying, that's flesh. That's not right. That's not the Spirit of Christ. And we'll carry that. Sometimes we'll acknowledge it right away. And it's hard. Oh, it's hard. To the flesh. Oh, but what joy it brings. I'm right with the Lord. When we say, oh God, forgive me. And if we've wronged somebody else, we'd say, please forgive me. And why do we do that? Because we've not denied ourselves. Now, that's when we do something. But listen, the truth is, to somebody else, the truth is, when God is not living his life through your life and mine, we're still not denying ourselves. We've got that old spirit of Peter. By golly, I'm right. But the Lord just said you're going to deny. No, no, no. I'm going to do it my way and be right. No, you're not. Remember, the Lord's already been there. Peter was trying to prove God wrong. Peter was trying to prove God wrong. Was that bright? Was it even right? Did he even come close to not failing? He couldn't have failed any faster, could he? Neither can you and I. Now, wait a minute, listen. We're two or three are gathered together. Is the Lord in our midst? Does God want to speak to us this morning? About who? Your neighbor's life? I'm okay, God, but man, look at these people here. Oh, no. Oh, no, no. No, God wants to speak right here. And so when God says, I have created you, you've been born again, you're a new creature, and this is what this new creature, this new spirit inside of you that's been quickened and made alive is going to do. And so when it's not accomplishing that, should we just keep going on? Keep going on? Here's the greatest thing. When you're working with people, right, and they don't stop and ask for help, and they're doing it wrong. If they go 1 hour doing it wrong, will it ever be right? How about people that don't ever say a word, go the whole stinking day and make a mess of things? You ever experienced that? Instead of saying something is wrong, it's not looking like what they said it was going to look like. And so why don't I stop and get help? Why don't we stop and get help? Why don't we stop and get help? I've got it too. It's called pride. And you cannot approach the Lord in pride. You've got to walk humbly before the Lord. Now, you can look at this old world and you can tell me, well, there are some people that are good people. You don't really know their lives. When nobody else is watching what they're really all about. Here's what I do know. When God's on the throne and when God's on the move, there's a thing that people have labeled an awakening. There, another label is a revival. And if we're not careful, what we're content with is just right where we're at. And we might say, well, I heard something good. No, 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 no. How much of God is working in your life and mine? That's called repentance. That's called me going before the Lord and saying things are not what they should be or what you want them to be at the very least. Not what I can make them, but what you want them to be. Does God want Northwood Baptist Church to be the light of the world? Does he want it to be the light of the world? God's been very merciful and very gracious to us, and I thank him for that. But does God want to shine his light and his life through you and I? He does want to do that. Don't answer this one. How much of that is taking place? Don't answer that one. That's just between you and the Lord. Because only you and the Lord, only you can confront the Lord on that and seek the Lord on that. Now, I will tell you is what I told you in the past. My heart's desire is that you hear from the lips of your Savior, when you look at him one day face to face, what a day that's going to be, that you hear from him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. With whatever talents he's decided to give you, that you hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's my heart's desire. But I want to let you in on something that you probably already know. God desires to hear it too. God wants to say that about each and every one of us. So here are these people here, and they're in this situation here, and the Lord is trying to help them see the truth, and they're struggling with it. And then verse 33, he's still talking. Here another parable. He's not stopping. He has their attention. He's trying to get there. He's wanting them to see the truth. He says, there was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen. These are the farmers, and went into a far country. So he goes to a far country. Listen, this is a revelation of their corrupt heart condemned before the Lord. It didn't have to be this way. And listen, in your life and mine, we don't have to settle for failure. We just need to settle for the truth. We just need to say, oh God, listen, God, I am not seeing the work in my life like you want it to be seen. I'm not saying that everybody in here or anybody in here is not walking upright before the Lord, but are we walking the way God wants us to walk, or are we starting to excuse ourselves because the world's not doing it, they used to do it, and we're just 20 years behind them? Are we just 20 years behind them? Sometimes we cannot help the company we are in. And I have been offended on many occasions, especially when my kids were little. I still don't like to hear foul language, cuss words. I don't like to hear it when I'm by myself. I don't like to hear it especially when my kids were little and people didn't even care to consider what was and who was around them, and they just let it fly. Does that make it right? Because I don't say anything? I have said things before to people. Excuse me, very kindly. I have children here. And I don't appreciate it. Now, that won't get you very far today. When they were smaller, you might get somewhere. But that doesn't happen today. Is it right for God's people to purposefully? How about this? To use bad language? To use bad language? You think Christians that call themselves Christians that profess to know the Lord use bad language? You would like to think not. You would like to think not. Let me tell you where the rubber meets the road. Are we watching things where there's bad language and excusing it because everybody's saying it? But I don't say it. I don't think, listen, does God want you, God wants us to share the gospel with everybody. Does he not? I think God wants prostitutes to be saved. Does that mean we invite them into our home in their promiscuous ways? I'm talking about they're not going to respect. They're going to be walking in your house like they walk on the streets. Should we allow that? Well, if that's on the television, we're doing that. We're seeing that. And what happens? We become desensitized to it. Now, I'm not saying that anybody's doing that. But I will tell you, I've been in situations and people that profess to know the Lord where I've got to go. I've got to go. What is that? We have compromised the truth and decided that the darkness is not anything that should cause us to blush. The Bible talks about when God's people can't even blush anymore over sin. Can't even blush. Listen, is sin not still sin? I have certain standards as a pastor of what I do and what I don't do. And I don't want to allow the Lord's church to represent anything that is sinful. I don't want to do that. Because the Lord's church, it's not just this building, it's the people. It's not the building, it's the people. And we shouldn't participate or partake in things that God says are wrong. And what I'm trying to say is this morning, if we really want to experience God, we're going to have to be up front with the Lord and deal with all the things that maybe we have sugar-coated or candy-coated or covered up, however we want to explain it. It's still sin if God says it's sin. If we are entertaining or indulging or involving ourselves in the world that God says we're called out from, can we ever expect the blessings of God the way he wants to give them? See, listen. I don't want to just be, and I don't want Northwood Baptist Church to just be a mediocre church. I want it to be on fire for God. Amen. Why? Because God wants it on fire. That's his desire. But this message this morning is for you and I to consider where we're at and how we think about who our Savior is. I would dare say, as I look around, everybody in this room has a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I hope we're not settled for where we're at right now. I have called out some things and pointed out some things, and let me just share this with you. Just to straighten out those things in the energy of the flesh doesn't mean that we're walking the way God wants us to walk. The heart has to be, God, you might glorify yourself in me, that you might walk in and through me. Because if we love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our soul, we'll love one another and the law will be fulfilled. And listen, didn't the Lord say that his commandments wouldn't be grievous to us? But if we're struggling with them, it's because they're grievous to us. And so this morning, God wants to do business with Northwood Baptist Church if we'll hear him. Or we could just chalk off another sermon. And you can critique the sermon if you want to. That still won't draw us any closer to the Lord. You can find the flaws. I will tell you, I'm not imperfect and I'm not an eloquent orator. But I do love the Lord. And I do love God's people, and I do want God's best for his people, and I hope you know that. I believe you do. Notice this, verse 34. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive the fruits of it. Came time now. Listen, you know what he's talking about? The Son has come on the scene, and they've denied the Son. In fact, they killed the Son. Verse 35, and the husbandman took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. He's referring to the prophets that the religious rulers of the day killed. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Verse 37, but last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandman saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. How did they ever think that that would happen? They're going to go to the father, hey, we killed your son, let's have the inheritance. 39, and they caught him and cast him out in the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Now he just asked a question to these people who were not willing to be honest. Listen, who were not willing to be honest about John the Baptist. But I want to show you something. When it comes to the Son, everyone who has rejected the truth will bend their knee and confess with their mouth the truth. That he is the Son of God and the Lord of Lords. If they were crafty enough to conceal the truth about John the Baptist, why could they not do it about the Lord? Because they can't. Now watch this. Verse 40. When the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? They say unto him, it's almost like they answered, he will miserably, listen to the description, destroy those wicked men. And will let out his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits of their seasons. This is their confession. Did that happen? Israel has lost the ministry. God's not done with Israel. And he's given it over to the Gentiles till the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And I don't know if you know it, but we are getting closer to the end. I'm not telling you when it's going to happen, but we ought to be ready every day. All right. So here they are, they give this confession. Now watch this, verse 42. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures? He's getting ready to quote to them Psalm 118, 22 through 23. All these guys had read that more than once and have probably memorized it. They knew this. But the Lord is saying, have you never, listen what he's saying. Have you never read, and of course they read it. Of course they read it. And they knew it, but they didn't understand it because their heart was darkened. So he says to them, did you never read verse 42 in the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, listen, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. That's today. And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, verse 44. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, notice, they perceived that he spake of them. Did they get it right? Yeah. They got it right. Everybody knows. I don't believe in atheists because of the Word of God. It's not something I've come to any conclusion on my own. Read Romans chapter 1. That when they knew God, they acknowledged him not of God. They did not glorify him. And so God gave them over to a reprobate heart, a reprobate mind, to believe those things that they're working out. You know what that tells me? Listen, there comes a time when God just gives us over. Okay, they're not. I don't know where that time is. I think as long as there's repentance in the heart of a child of God, there's always a return to God. So they perceived that he spake of them. Verse 46. Now watch this. Oh, we're not coming to kill you. You've got a devil. You're crazy. No one's trying to kill you. Verse 46. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. The multitudes took him for a prophet. They feared the people. We will never get anywhere fearing the people more than we fear God. Listen, by what authority did Jesus do these things? By heaven's authority. By God's authority. By what authority do we live by the grace of God? By God's authority. By what craziness would we not? Because we decide not to yield and to deny ourselves. Is it possible to have victory? Listen, not in ourselves. Is it possible to have victory in who? Jesus. Is it possible to be a peculiar people by the mercy and grace of God in us? Why would we settle for anything less? Now, I'm going to say something here, and please don't be offended, and I won't be offended, but I'm going to tell you the truth. Is that okay with you to tell you the truth, or do you want me to not tell you the truth? It's called a lie. You don't want me to lie to you. And I don't want you to do something because I say something. And I won't be offended, but I'm going to say this. If we see the problem and do nothing about it, will it ever change? If my people, which are called by my name, shall turn from their wicked ways and humble themselves and call on me, he says, I'll hear from heaven. Empty altars do very little. I'm not trying to influence you, because if you just do it because of me, you're not getting anything. But I'm just telling you, we need to, if we want to see God work, we're going to have to warm up these altars. And warming up these altars, what does that do? Can I not pray in my seat? Yeah, you can. You can, and God will hear you. But I believe it takes a little bit more of humbling ourselves to come down and say, God, I need you. God, I don't want to fail you. I want you to do something. And listen, if we really want revival, and if we really want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, there's a price to pay. It's called denying ourselves. Can Northwood Baptist Church do with a little more of denying ourselves? I'm not here just to chalk off another message, and I'm sorry for going over. I try to keep it within an hour. But I promise you, what's being said here this morning will carry out throughout eternity of what was really important. Not an extra 15 minutes, but seeking God with all of my heart, all of my mind, and all of my soul for his honor and glory. So with that said, It's the Lord's invitation. But if we don't come, we shouldn't expect a whole lot. If we don't go very far with the Lord, if we just walk part way, then that's all. Maybe that's where we're at, part way. I think that's lukewarm. I'm not sure. Is that what we want to be? Would you stand? The Lord's invitation, our opportunity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, I don't want to manipulate. I don't want people to move based upon any kind of manipulation at all. But Lord, that you would speak to hearts and that you would move hearts as only you can. Lord, if you're speaking to your people even now, may they not even wait for the end of prayer. May they come now and say, oh God, that your will might be fulfilled in my life. May you be honored and glorified. May we be drawn closer to you. May you strengthen the faith. May you live in and through us to fulfill your will. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.